How's everybody doing today? All right, Isaac's doing good. Good.
There we go.
Ooh, we're on power today. This is interesting. The beloved tale as old as time is getting a major update. Beauty and the Beast director Bill Condon revealed in an interview with Attitude, which is some website, that Gaston's sidekick LeFou, played by Josh Gad, will explore his sexuality in what Attitude calls a small but significant subplot during the film. LeFou is somebody who on one day wants to be Gaston and on another day wants to kiss Gaston. Condon said in the interview he's confused about what he wants. It's somebody who's just realizing that he has these feelings, and Josh makes something really subtle and delicious out of it. Ooh. And that's what has its payoff at the end, which I don't want to give away. I don't really want to see it. But it is a nice, exclusively gay moment in a Disney movie. Amazing. So that's that new, the new one, the live, the people Beauty and the Beast that's coming out. So, religious right is losing its mind about Frozen's Elsa possibly being gay. You know, why are we so worried about Disney? Isn't that the world? Don't they have an agenda? You see some of the hidden things in these movies. It's unbelievable. And here's the religious right. They're so worried about Frozen, and then there's a lost person living right next door to them. But Elsa's gay. Who cares? What a joke. That's an amazing thing. Why are we so worried about that? Unbelievable. It's just, what a messed up world. We already know we lived in a messed up world. They gave up on God long ago. They put the Bible on the shelf, and we have a better idea than God. In fact, we know more than God. We're going to write 373 different Bibles better because we know better than God. He doesn't even know how to write a book, but we do. Amazing thing. Does that tick you off? Well, maybe I'm the only one. It kind of ticks me off. Anyways, let's talk about the Lord for a little bit. I don't know why. I'm a little more nervous today than I usually am. So maybe this is an important thing. So don't, if you start getting lost and confused, just hold up your hand. I'm lost. You lost me about 10 minutes ago. Could we go back? Yeah, thanks, Leon. Test. We'll do a test here. Appreciate that. He's already lost. You want me to read those articles again? You know, there's more to be concerned about than Disney movies. It's amazing how subtle those things came in. I don't know, what has it been, 20 years now? These princess movies and how big they got. That just tells me there's something wrong with it. There's something behind it. It's just like my son, he gets mad at me because I keep saying the NFL is, you know, it's rigged. And he goes, "Oh, Dad, you're just an old curmudgeon." I said, "Yep, I am." I said, whenever there's a lot of money involved and a bunch of prisoners, there's trouble. There's problems. I said, there's something wrong. I said, and I can show him things going on all the time, but he's, Well, find out for yourself. This world is too, the devil is too slick. He's sly, he's subtle, and he does things, and we don't even realize he's doing it. And we sit there going, wow, that's so wonderful. Elsa. I love Elsa. Let's turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. This subject today is a rather big subject, but I just saw something different in it myself. Maybe you've already seen this, so if you have, just kind of look interested. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Let's pray first before we start. Lord, I need you today. Preaching your word, to your people, and what an honor and what a privilege. And I pray that I'd present it in a way that's pleasing to you. In your name, amen. Verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. The fear of God, the fear of the Lord, it's a broad subject. And I look at it, I used to teach it in a way, I used to explain it like when I was 5 years old, I had disobeyed my dad. And if you've seen my dad, his hands are huge, like tennis racket thing. And I didn't enjoy the spankings my dad gave me. You shouldn't enjoy a spanking, anyways. But anyways, one time he said, come here, and I ran away from him. One time. This one time. And I got halfway around the dining room table. I was 5 years old. I got around halfway around the table and I stopped, literally at 5 years old, and I said, what am I doing? It's going to be worse if I keep running. Then finally I walked over to him, and yeah, I got what I deserved. And I picture that as the fear of the Lord, just saying, now after that spanking, I don't want to do that again, because I don't want to go through that again. And that's perfectly legit. You know, I don't want to get a spanking from my dad. So I'm not going to do that anymore. And that's fine. That's the way it still works. It still works. But I saw something different in this time, and I just want to share it with you for a little bit. Let's. I got my notes. I was going through them this morning. I had to go back and do it. Sometimes we get. We get a difference. There's a difference between being scared and fear. Scared, this is a dictionary definition. Scared is to frighten or to terrify suddenly. You know, somebody jumps out from behind a corner, hey! You know, and you're like, oh, that's scared. Fear, a painful emotion or passion excited by an expectation of evil, or the apprehension of impending danger. Fear is accompanied by a desire to ward off the expected evil. Okay, when I was there again, 5 years old was the worst year of my life, because a lot of things happened when I was five. But I woke one day, I was in church. We used to go to an evangelical free church up in Malacca when I was a kid. And I fell asleep in church. I know it's hard to believe. And I fell asleep in church, and I woke up, and everyone was gone. The lights were off. And I was laying in the pew, and I'm like, and you know, all churches are creepy when the lights are off. I'm sorry, they are. They're just creepy. And I woke up, and I just started walking real slow towards the back door. You know, it's kind of like, you know, the fear, the expectation, because I know there's all kinds of things hiding behind the pews, hiding behind doors, ready to kill me. You know, I finally get back, and I start, and this thing, you walk through the back doors, and then there was a lobby area where the pastor's office was, and then you go down some steps to the main door. And it's an old building. You're talking the fifth, I was late 60s. And you're like, wow, that long ago. And I get back, I get down to the front, I get towards the front door, and then some headlights shine, and I open the front door of the church, and there's my folks. And they go, oh, there you are. You know, it's like you got all the way home and realized I wasn't there. And that's a good feeling, right? But it's like when being scared and fear, it's like being in bed when you're a kid. And can I leave the lamp on? No, go to bed. So you're laying there, and you know something's in the closet or under the bed that's going to get you. You know that. You've all been there, and you know there's something there. It's probably still there. And you're just laying there, and you're fear. You're expecting. You're just waiting for that door to swing open or that door, the doorknob to start to turn, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, you know. But what does a kid do? Under the covers. Woo! Now I'm safe. Now, He won't find me under here. If I lay really still, whatever it is won't find me. And you're not scared under the covers. You're there. You're fine. You're just like, but then you get, you know, stupid, you know. You know, and your way, you know, but the scared part would be if that was actually there waiting for you. It's like, woo! But, so the fear of the Lord, I wrote this down. The fear of the Lord is not to produce a sense of being scared of the Lord, but is a fear developed in our hearts of elements that may interfere with or break our relationship with the Lord. It's a fear of something that may come in. We love the Lord. You know, I love my wife. And I care for her. And I sometimes, you know, me as a man, I say stupid things. Or I do something stupid. And, you know, all of a sudden you're, honey! You know, like, you know. But there's those times where you fear, I don't want anything to come between me and my wife. Nothing. And if you're a man and you have trouble maybe lusting after women or something, you should fear that's going to break the relationship between you and your wife. That should make you tremble. And we love the Savior came and died on the cross for us, and we accepted Him as our Savior, and every day the fear of the Lord should be on us that something will not come in between that relationship. It's a love thing. We don't want anything to break that love or that connection. And we see it happened in the Old Testament quite a bit. Oh, I got to find where did I do with that page? There it is. Joshua, it says, therefore the children, we've all heard the story of Achan, what he did when they knocked down the walls of Jericho. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you anymore, except ye destroy the accursed thing from among you. Wouldn't you hate to hear that from the Lord? I can't even talk to you. You got sin in your life. You got to get rid of that. And then imagine if we just lived for the Lord every minute of every day, what we could do for God. And didn't let anything from the world in. It's virtually impossible. But wouldn't it be something if we just tried? Or if we saw something that jogged our memory to think something we weren't supposed to think, and they immediately stopped and said, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I let that in. I need that. I need you today. I need that relationship today. I need you in my life today, so please forgive me for that. Please forgive me. Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If I know it's there and I don't do anything about it, that's just stupid. You're breaking that bond, that relationship. You let the thing, you let it out of the closet. I know coming out of the closet means something whole different today, but letting that whatever it is, that pet sin, that sin that does so easily beset us, if we let that out of the door, out of the closet, and we know it's there, but we don't do anything about it, or we did nothing to prevent it, then that communication, that relationship is gone. That thing we had with the Lord. Isaiah 59:2, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear you. You know, I heard a preacher tell a story once about a guy who was preaching, and this guy was under conviction. He knew he needed to get saved, but he, instead of turning to the Lord, he got ticked off. I'm so tired of hearing this preaching about sin, and you know, I'm sick of it. And after the service was over, he got in his car and got his family and took off. Rainy, slick night, went around a sharp corner, lost control, off the cliff. And there's his wife was moving but bleeding to death, and he's holding her in his arms and said, oh God, listen to me. And there was nothing there. What about when you get to that point in your life? When you need God so bad, but you have something in your life that's blocking that relationship. Hey, you love that more than me, so why don't you turn to that? Why don't you call on your God and see what he's going to do? Hey, why don't you call on Adrian Peterson and see what he can do for you? Why don't you call President Trump, see if he'll answer your call? Or if you're on the other side, call Hillary. She maybe have a hangover, so just, you know, bear with it. But I'm sure she'll help you out. Isaiah 64:7, and there is none that calleth upon my name that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. Boy, isn't that convicting. For thou hast hid thy face from us and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. What's in the closet? What are you hiding it from? Why? What do we need to keep in the closet that can get in the way of our relationship with God? What do we need to fear? Why do we need to fear the Lord? Because I don't want that thing in there to get out and break my relationship with him, especially in this world, especially today. Things are just getting worse and worse and worse. And you hear something and you're like, wow, I'll never be surprised again. And then the next day you hear something even worse than that. And you're like, man, how can people do these things? I had somebody talking to me the other day. They're taking, there's these guys down in Florida. You know, I'm not, don't get me wrong, I'm not an animal activist or anything like this, but these guys are going to animal shelters and getting, you know, puppies or cats or whatever and all this and buying them, and they'll take them out and put them on a hook and use them for fishing while they're alive. You know, throw them out for sharks and fish with them. You know, I'm not a big animal thing, but you don't do that. I'm sorry. You know, it's God's creation. You don't treat it like that. It is. You don't. If you have an animal, treat it right. Hey, you brought it in. Take care of it until it's gone. You know, as much as it may irritate you at times, you know, I get irritated quick with animals. I really do. When they do a number on my carpet, it's like, what's going on here? Why do we even have this thing around anymore? All it does is destroy the rugs. You know, it's like, oh, I'm so happy to be here. You know, it's like, well, be happy outside. Come on. But the fear of the Lord, it's something, the fear of the Lord should be something we do to prevent from letting something out of the closet that's going to break our relationship with him. Turn over to Psalm 111. Psalm 111. I'm just going to go through a few verses here with you. How to stay in the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. Psalm 111:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. It says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And then our verse in Ecclesiastes, real quick, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. Kind of see a common thread here. Fear the Lord and keep his commandments. Couple weeks ago, I preached on studying the Word of God. It's a command. It's a personal command. We're supposed to read and study and search the Scriptures. It's not the pastor's job. This is a personal commandment from the Lord to do that. And it's to keep us in the fear of the Lord so we know him better, we understand him better. We know how he thinks. This is the mind of Christ. We know how he thinks. We know how he will handle every situation. So to stay in the fear of the Lord, we need to stay in his word. Just simple stuff. Real simple stuff. Now, if we stay in the Word of God and we want to keep that fear of the Lord, we will start to obtain godly attributes. This is number two. We will start to obtain, and we want to avoid the situation. We're trying to keep something in the closet here that's going to get out and affect our relationship. So we need to stay in the Word of God. And by staying in the Word of God, we're going to start obtaining godly attributes in our lives. When the fear of the Lord is mentioned in the Word of God, this is kind of interesting. I noticed maybe some of you have seen this before. The fear of the Lord is mentioned in the Word of God, it not only mentions attributes of God, but also how we obtain them, thus strengthening our relationship and making us more like Him. Turn to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. Psalm 19:9. Too far. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. So here you got the fear of the Lord, and you got an attribute of God, clean. Attribute of God, enduring forever. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord, how can we obtain that? How can we be clean? How can we endure forever? The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. So you want the fear of the Lord that's clean and pure, then you stay in my judgments. Learn my judgments. Get in my judgments. Turn over to Psalm 11 or 111:10. We just read, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom, a good understanding, the wisdom, understanding, attributes of God, a good understanding of all they that do His commandments. There again, stay in His commandments. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Attributes of God accompanied with how we obtain them by staying in His commandments. Turn over to Proverbs 1, Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord, knowledge, it's an attribute of God. He's all-knowing. He's omniscient. He knows everything. You know, we talked about that before. Somebody that knows your thoughts, that's kind of scary. That's just scary to me. But fools, ones who don't believe God even exists, fools despise wisdom and instruction. So it's saying here, the fear of the Lord, beginning of knowledge, an attribute of God, how to obtain it by wisdom and instruction. We get that on Sunday morning here at church from Pastor and Brother Dave. And then when we go home, we read and study and search the Scriptures for ourselves. Wisdom and instruction, it's all within the Word of God, the commandments. It all seems to have a common thread here. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. Trying to get the fear of the Lord so we can keep that relationship. The fear of the Lord is to keep a relationship with the Lord established. Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy and evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. So here he is. He's saying, I hate some things. God says, I hate some things, and here's what you're supposed to hate. Things that God has, things that God does, and how we're supposed to do it. He says, this is what I hate. We get that instruction from the Word of God. One page over, chapter 9. Verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. There it is again. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. How do you gain knowledge of the holy? Through the scriptures, through the preaching. Proverbs 14:26, and the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and His children shall have a place of refuge. Proverbs 14:27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. There it is, attribute of God, the fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. What is attained by turning to the fountain of life? And how do you learn to turn to the fountain of life? Through the scriptures. through the preaching of the word. Proverbs 15:33 says, "The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility." Wisdom, attribute of God. Humility, how to get it. It's a humbling thing to read something in the scripture or hear something preached and give into it and let it run your life. It's a humbling thing. But he says right here, if you want, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. There it is again. Hearing the Word of God, reading the Word of God. Maybe you listen to CDs of the Word of God. Maybe you hear preaching of the Word of God, whether it's here or on tape or CD or 8-track or reel-to-reel, you know, whatever you got. You know, you listen to it, MP3, what's the big thing now? It's Bluetooth. There you go. Good one. All right. So you hear this preaching, you hear it, you want to listen to it, and that's how you get the wisdom. And wisdom is an attribute of God, and it's a humbling thing a lot of times to find out you're wrong. We're always wrong, and God's always right. So we need to stay in His Word. And to obtain the fear of the Lord, we need to stay in the Word of God. And stay around people who love the Word of God. Stay around people who instruct us in the Word of God, who are reading the Word of God, so we can make that fear of the Lord stronger and keep our relationship intact. It's just an amazing thing how, you know, yeah, we can be scared so we don't get punished, but to fear the Lord so we keep a relationship intact. I don't want anything to come between me and the Lord, especially if I get in a point in my life or a spot in my life where I need Him. I can't afford to have anything to be in the way of me talking to Him and hear Him hearing my prayer. I can't afford that. None of us can. The world is in for a shock when the Lord comes back and they see Him for who He is. And then they see true holiness and righteousness, and they're in for a shock. But didn't we do this in your name? Yeah, you did it in my name, but you didn't do it for me. You did it in my name, but not for me. You didn't love me. We didn't even have a relationship. You used my name in vain. So many people think that the people cussing and using the Lord's name in vain, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. How about if you're not living right? You're using the Lord's name in vain. People, you know, look at you and look for guidance and protection, but you're living just like they are. And we have these quirks in our life, and people look at us and say, you're a Christian? How can I talk to you? We're using His name in vain. That was a little sidetrack. Sorry about that. But then the fear of the Lord also demands a sense. Well, first of all, let's look at a good thing. Benefits. The benefits of living in the fear of the Lord. Benefits of living in the fear of the Lord. Let's turn over to Proverbs 14, just a couple pages back from where we just were. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 26. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. We've read some of these already. And His children shall have a place of refuge. Isn't that kind of nice? In today's day and age where we have a place where we can go and hide out. You know, we hear people pray it on Wednesday night. It's so nice to come here and get away from the world. It is. What a shelter it is. And we have that. We have it at our disposal 24 hours a day. We can go to Him. We can get on our... We're having a hard time. You know, I don't know about you, but my worst time is when I'm tired and laying in bed at night and I'm just starting to fade off. My thoughts start just kind of... Things get in there that I should not be thinking. When I get tired, I start thinking things and I need to get out of bed and just get on my knees and say, Lord, help me through this. Or grab the Bible and start reading. Get something good in your mind. Get your thoughts on the right things before you drift off to sleep. It's a shelter. It's a place we can run to. I remember we were playing playing golf once, and when I was but a wee little lad, and we were playing in here, you know, we could see a storm coming in. And Brian, you can relate to this, even fishing. You know, you see a storm coming in, you want to get out of there, because you're just basically a lightning rod, and that's not a good thing. And we were playing this hole, and it was a downhill dogleg left. You don't know what that is, but anyways. And I hit my tee shot, and I had just a short chip to the green, but then it started pouring rain, lightning, thundering, and there was no place to go. So where do I go? I hide under a tree. Huh? And I'm standing there with my golf clubs, steel golf clubs. Yeah, that was real good, wasn't it, huh? It's like, hit me if you can. I was seeking shelter under a tree during a lightning storm. That was real smart. Plus, it was an oak, so that would have really hurt. But then I get the bright idea. I'll just run out real quick and hit my next shot. So now I'm standing out in the middle of a fairway, holding a club, ready to hit my shot, and that's kind of stupid. That's just kind of stupid. But that's the way we are as Christians, right? We kind of get our own ideas, and we kind of run out from underneath the tree. You know, God's not a tree, but He's a shelter for us. And there's more verses like that. Verse 27 there, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. What a place to go. The snares of death. You can get trapped in the things of the world. Everything out there is a snare of death. It's temporary. Everything they have to offer is temporary. It's a snare of death. But we can run to the fountain of life. Isn't that a blessing? That is so cool. We have that as an advantage through Jesus Christ. Turn over to chapter 19. Chapter 19, verse 23. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. Wow, what a promise that is. To have the fear of the Lord shall abide satisfied. How many satisfied people do you meet in the world today? How many people are content with what they got? It's not as easy as eating a Snicker bar. You know, Snickers satisfies. So what, do you got to eat them constantly? There's wrappers all over the place. I'm satisfied. I'm buzzing. I'm satisfied. A lot of sugar. Never sleep. All right? But, you know, Snickers doesn't satisfy. Anything out in the world does not satisfy. It never does. I could go out tomorrow. Well, probably not tomorrow, but go out and play golf and play a perfect game. Maybe I could be 5-6 under. And I can look back and say, wow, if I just would have done that, I could have been 7 or 8 under. It's never enough. It's never enough. You know, you guys at work, you hear people complaining about wages all the time, don't you? It's never enough. Oh, I got to have the 3-car garage now, and an Escalade, and why? If you live in the fear of the Lord and you're more worried about your relationship with Jesus Christ, none of that stuff's going to matter. Everything you have, if your car runs and gets you to work and back, what more do you need? Really, what more do you need? Be content. I bet the Apostle Paul would love to have my truck that leaks oil all over the place. Oh, he had to walk or take a chariot or a ship that sank in the middle of the ocean. Woohoo! Boy, that was fun, huh? But he could hop in his 2000 Silverado and leaks oil, put a quart of oil in it, and head off to Damascus. I'm there in 15 minutes instead of 15 days. He's probably looking down at us like, man, you guys are spoiled rotten. You got a Bible in every room of the house, you got five Bibles on the shelf, you got a church to go to, you got good Christian friends, you can contact your friends in 2 seconds. Call them on a phone. Nobody does that anymore. It's texting. Texting and all that junk. I mean, what advantages we have today? How many Bible apps can you have on your phone? And they were scrambling for a copy of the scriptures. The fear of the Lord. We have it so nice today. And we don't appreciate it at all. Go over to chapter 22, another advantage, another benefit of living for the fear of the Lord. We have a place to go. 22:4 says, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Riches are not your bank account. Riches are a family that wants to serve God. Riches are friends that you can fellowship with and share gospel things with and talk about things without cussing and swearing and complaining. Riches are that relationship with the Lord. Relationship with the one who created everything, and we can tap into that knowledge and that wisdom and we can have that communication with Him at all times if we have the fear of the Lord. And we keep whatever it is in the closet so it doesn't come out and interfere with that relationship. Benefits of the fear of the Lord. Acts 9:31 says, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. People can come in here and see a peace and a satisfaction on the faces and in the lives of people in here and want to come here because we have something that they want. Something that they're searching for. If they come in here and hear people out in the lobby, oh, look what they're wearing. Oh, wow. Look how many piercings they have. 1, 2, 3. Look like they rolled around in a tackle box. Why would they want to come here? When they come in the door, I've seen people go up to visitors and shake their hands one after another. They're probably like, wow, hey, it's good to see you too. You know, and they get done and it's like, wow, arms sore. That's good. We're happy to be here. We're excited to be here. We get to hear the Word of God preached. And they get to see that and they're like, wow, I've never been in a church like that. Usually it's all about the music. Woohoo, praise the Lord. You don't even know the Lord. Help us. But they come in here and they see a satisfaction. They see a presence in here that they don't see out there or they don't see in other churches. And they have the Holy Spirit just moving amongst, you know, the people. And they just, wow, you're welcome here. You're really going to enjoy it. If you like the Word of God or you want to hear the Word of God preached, you're going to hear it. And it's going to change your life. And it can really do that. So we have a place to go. We have a church to go to. We have a God to run to. And then the last thing, the fear of the Lord also demands a sense of expediency in our actions. We can lay under the covers and just hope it all goes away. We can hide under the covers. We can hide, or we can just go, I'm out of here. You know, take the covers down and run into mom and dad's room. Then you're safe. Then you know you're safe. Dad can whip anybody. Dad, man, he... Bring it on! Dad, he'll take care of him. So if we have the fear of the Lord, we can keep that thing in the closet. We can do something about it. We can turn on a light. They don't come out in the light. We can turn on the light. We can turn on the light of the gospel, the light of Christ, and they won't come out of the closet. We can run to Dad. Let's look at a few verses here. I got most of them typed out here, but that's all right. 2 Chronicles 19:7 says, wherefore now let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take heed and do it. Do it now. Repair that breach. Repair that relationship. Get that love back. Remember when you first got saved and that you realized your sins were forgiven and gone and you were like, man, this is great. What happened? What happened to that time? Why did it get old? We need to get back to that. I don't want anything to ruin this moment. That moment lasts until you pass from here, and then you get to see it in person. What a blessing. What a great thing the Christian life is. But we get so wound up in our job and the things of this world just kind of move in on us, and we got so much on our mind and we got too many things going on that we forget about the goodness we have. And there's a breach. We're letting things take precedence over God and the Bible. I've done this in the morning. I'll get up and I'll pray and I say, well, I'll put a time limit on God. Okay, it's 25 after 4. That is in the morning. There is a time at that 4:25 in the morning. There is. It is. Believe it or not. You get out in 4:25, so I got a lot of work to do at work. I got this to do. If I don't get there early enough, I'm never going to get that done. And okay, go. And I'll pray. Okay, bless my reading of the word. And okay, 2 chapters. Here we go. All right, Lord, let's go. He's like, what are you talking about? What did I just tell you in there? What did we just talk about? Well, I don't know. Where'd that relationship? There's nothing there. Communication, don't they say that's part of a good relationship? But we let something get in the way, work, or the car's broke down, or the kids are unruly or rebellious, and we're like, instead of talking to somebody who can take care of it, we sit there and just gripe about it or complain about it and let it bother us so much that we don't let somebody take care of it that can. And we get to work and there's nothing we can do about the workload anyways. It's going to be there no matter what we do or not. Whether we get there early or not. It's just like God says, oh, you're going to get there early instead of spending time with me? I think I'll give you a little bit more. There you go. Now try it on. Why don't you spend time with me and let me handle it? He can make, I got 30 inmates that do the laundry for me. 30 of them. All different crimes, all different things. But I got to get these guys together and get them to work to get a job complete and get it out the door back to the people who are waiting for it. I can't do that, but God can. If we have a relationship, I say, Lord, look at these guys. They'd rather kill each other and just get into a fight with each other than fold clothes or get things loaded right or get them in the dryer right or let them dry or do the job correctly. But you can fix it for me. And I'd really appreciate your help. Could you please help it? And that's not going to happen if I don't have that relationship. It's not going to happen if I'm not fearing the Lord. Fear of the Lord is a fear of, I love you so much, I don't want anything to come in between us. I really don't. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Third point is a sense of expediency. Working, getting it done. If you were in the military, how many were in the military? All right, got a few. When the company commander says do something, do you say hold on a second? Hold on. No, you're on their time, right? When the chief says hey, Christofferson, I need you to get on this. Yeah, okay. What? Yeah, right. I got these other things I got to do first. No, I said now. I said do it now. Drop and give me 50. You ever hear that? Well, you have. I'm sure you have. You're kind of rebellious. So, I was in boot camp, and I'm sitting in it. You weren't allowed. They had chairs and tables, in the barracks where we were housed when we first got there. And you had your bunks on the sides, and then you had the chairs and tables in the middle. You were not allowed to sit in the chairs or at the tables. You were not allowed to sit there at all until week 7 out of 8. They just sat there. And you weren't supposed to use them. So finally, week 7 comes, and I'm sitting in a chair. Oh, what a privilege. You know, I forgot what it was like to sit in a chair. So I sat down, and I'm sitting there, and the company commander comes in, and he says, "Get out of that chair." And I just kind of, like, you know, it's kind of, you know, like a rebellious teen. It's kind of, kind of like, I'll get up when I want to get up kind of thing. He says, I said, "Get up." He said, "Drop and give me 50. Give me 50 push-ups." So I'd start doing push-ups. I was in better shape back then. And I got up to 45. And he said, "I didn't hear your belt buckle. Start over." And I was in pretty good shape then. I had lost a lot of weight, and I'd been doing push-ups until whenever. Not because I was in trouble all the time. So I started over, and I did it. I did 95 push-ups, and I got up, and I'm like, I will never sit in that chair again. My arms were huge, and triceps were just bulging, you know. I was hurting. But that's the way the Lord is. He says, "Hey, you want the fear of the Lord? I need you to move. Let's do it now. Hey, there's something between us. Fix it now. Do it now. Get rid of that so we can talk. I got something I want to show you this morning in the Word of God. Fix that. Get it so we can talk. I want that fellowship. I want it. I want it from you. That's why I created you, so I could have pleasure from you, and we can talk." And, you know, just like the Lord, you can imagine how he felt when Adam ate the fruit and he came down in the garden knowing full well what Adam had done. And now that fellowship was broken. And how does he feel when we let that pet sin out of the closet and let it get in the way? He's like, "Oh. Hey, Todd, where are you? Todd, where are you? I'm poor and wretched and naked. Who told you you were naked? Did you do what I told you not to do?" "Yeah, again." Let's get that taken care of. Do it now. Fear me. Take care of it. I want that relationship so we can talk. This stinks. I can't come down here anymore and talk to you until you get that taken care of. Where was I? Proverbs 3:7. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Do it now. It doesn't say depart from evil whenever you feel like it. Depart from the evils that you don't... If you don't think it's evil, then don't worry about it. No, he says depart from evil. How are you going to know what's evil? Stay in the book. Stay in the commandments. Proverbs 18, real quick. Proverbs 18, we'll just go through these last few. Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Expediency. Hey, if you see some problems or something you can't do, we talked about this a little bit earlier. Where are you going to run? Take off now. Don't sit there and try and fight the battle yourself. Run to the tower. Get into safety. Don't go into a tree with golf clubs. Run to the tower and get safe. We have that in the Lord. Psalm 61:4, I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. He's saying, I know you're having trouble. I know you're struggling with that thing that's in the closet. Come to me. Get under my wings for a while. Just stay here until it's past. Stay here and get the victory. Stay under the covers until it's gone. It'll go away. Eventually, just peaceful, fall asleep, satisfied. You'll be fine. Psalm 57:1 says, Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. All these problems that we have, all these things that we let get in the way of our relationship with Jesus Christ, if we just go to Him, doesn't it say in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us? Do we do that? It's like running into the tower and say, I'm sorry, please. I need to be under your wings. I need your safety now. I need your help until I can get through this time. I'm really struggling. There's times in our life where it's so overwhelming that you want to do something wrong. It's an amazing time. But He says, run to me. Be quick about it. Don't jog, sprint. Turn and run. Don't look over your shoulder. Turn and run. When the imagine being in battle and the company commander says, hey, retreat, retreat. What do you just kind of hold on here? I think I can pick this guy off. Hold on, I think I got this guy here. One guy. No, I said, get out. Run to me. Come to me. Let me take care of these problems for you. The fear of the Lord is yes, we should be scared of the chastisement of the Lord. We should be afraid of punishment when we do things wrong. But it also, we should be afraid of something coming between us and the Lord that breaks that relationship. The love relationship we had when we first got saved. What happened to that? What's coming between you and the Lord today? Why should we not be in the Bible more and fear Him more and learn more about Him so we can keep those breaches away and off to the side and nothing ever comes out of that closet that's going to get in our way? And when it's so overwhelming, pull the blankets over your head. Go to the Lord. Go for shelter. Everything's safe under the blankets. Everything's safe under the wings of an almighty God. In the shelter of His tower. He wants the relationship, so He's going to protect us. He's going to take care of us and help us get out of these situations. It says there's no temptation that is common to man. We're all tempted, and He always provides a way out. Sometimes we get the victory through Christ. Sometimes we get the victory in Christ. We run into Him and just look for protection. The fear of God, the fear of the Lord comes from being in this all the time and not just reading it, but living it, studying it, searching the Scriptures. So just another take on the fear of the Lord for you. Lord, pray that you just bless this.